Yeah, pretty neat work that's happening. And so I would encourage you after service, go and bum rush the table out there to make sure that you can hear more about what's going on and find out how to partner with them. Prayer, I'm sure they have prayer cards and various things that we can remember. The Church of Jesus Christ is a really, really beautiful thing. As we think about the church, there's immediately my mind goes to the local church. That's us. That's here. That's what is happening. This is Faith Community Church, the local church. And then there's the universal church. And that is all believers everywhere in the world that have put their trust in Jesus Christ. And the really neat thing about missions is that we have the opportunity to connect the local church with the universal church. I remember one of the first mission trips I had ever been on. I was in Guatemala, and we were working to build, really, we were working to dig and put post holes for a fence that would protect a coffee field, okay? So we get out there, and we're all, ready to go and excited, and we put the shovel in the ground, and it didn't go anywhere. And then I remember putting the shovel on and then jumping on the shovel, and it didn't go anywhere. And then our counterparts, our Guatemalan friends, they came up, and they said, "Oh, no, that shovels don't work here." "Oh, how are we going to dig?" They threw us some big, huge pieces of rebar. And what you did was you took it and you threw it in the ground and you kind of wiggled it around a little bit and then you threw it in the ground again. And then after about 2 minutes, you had a hole about that deep. And I remember thinking, okay, we're going to get this fence built. We're going to dig down for these post holes. How are they going to do the coffee thing after all this? But that wasn't me to worry about, right? So anyway, the whole idea was that this coffee field would support the local church, right? And so anyway, I'm sweating, I'm going, and I'm looking over at the Guatemalan buddies, brothers in Christ, and they're just moving right along, and I'm about 3 inches deep, and I'm ready for a break. It's so hot. Anyway, you guys know how I deal with the heat. Anyway, we're going, and finally it was break time. And so I found myself under a tree with a brother in Christ. I didn't speak much Spanish. He didn't speak much English. We were just kind of staring at each other. You know, when you smile so much, your face starts to hurt because you don't know what else to say, right? So eventually he pulls out his wallet and he looks and he gives me a photo. And I looked at the photo and it's his family, his wife and kids. And he was just beaming. He was so proud, so happy, and trying to tell me about them in Spanish, and I'm catching very, very little. And then he grabbed my hand, and he pointed to my ring finger, which was empty at the time. I was engaged to Ashley, but for some reason, guys don't get engagement rings anyway. So it was empty, and he looked, and he goes, And I go, futura esposa. And he goes, "Ah, okay." And I said, "Futura esposa muy caliente," right? I'm saying Ashley was very beautiful in a very not correct way. He started laughing at me. And then from that moment on, we continued to have conversation in broken English, broken Spanish. And then he stopped and said, "We got to get back to work." And I groaned and I got back up and he stopped and he put his hand on me and he prayed for me in Spanish. He prayed for me and then I prayed for him in English. And let me tell you, there is beauty in the fact that I could barely have 5 words with this man, but he was a believer in Jesus Christ. He was my brother in Christ. And one day, I'll see him in eternity, I'll see him in heaven, and we'll be able to have wonderful conversation. The beauty of the universal church is something that I think that we as a local church, we can't run past that. We need to understand that God is working and moving everywhere. The awesome things that are happening here at Faith Community Church are awesome. We celebrate them. We praise God for them. And we work hard to live our lives in a way that is faithful to his calling. But we recognize that God is doing work all over the globe, whether it's in Guatemala or Europe or Tanzania, God is working. So our job as believers is to pray for one another. If we look at the scriptures, we see time and time again, our job is to lift one another up in prayer. It's to encourage one another. It's to bear one another's burdens. Our job as the church is to pray and encourage one another. And that is for the local church, but also for the universal church as well. So it's a beautiful thing that the Edwards are here, and we want to encourage them in that. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Here in Romans, Paul is giving a great argument as to what the church looks like and how the Gentiles have been grafted in. A people that previously did not belong to the covenant family of God. How God, because of his work through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus going to the cross, dying for our sins, rising again, because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus, we have access to God through faith. We've been talking about that for months now, right? Jesus gives us relationship with God. Jesus gives them freedom from sin. Jesus allows us to have life and hope. And because of Jesus, the Gentiles, again, a people that were strangers and aliens, a people that were orphans, a people that were far away, now have the opportunity to be grafted into the family of God, adopted as sons and daughters. And Paul says this in chapter 12, starting in verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. It's a very simple statement, but it's pretty profound. Paul says we are members one of another. We are one body. We think about the imagery that God gives us about the church. We recognize that the church is the bride of Christ. Church is the body of Christ. And this word picture that Paul gives us, that we are one body, verse 3, for as in one body we have many, many members. Anybody ever, you know what I'm about to say, right? You ever stub your foot and your foot, your toe, and it hurts really bad, and you're hopping around on one foot, and you're holding your toe, and it hurts really bad, but then you fall over and bump your head. Well, I'm not talking of personal experience here, though. When that happens, your toe doesn't hurt quite as much, right? What one member does affects everyone else. If one part of your body is hurting, your whole body is hurting. If one part of your body is doing well, your whole body is doing well. And Paul gives us this word picture of the body, saying that the church is the body of Christ because of the incredible interconnectedness that we all have as members of this one body. Let's keep reading. We'll go to verse 4 again. We'll pick up there. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. My question to you is, are you using the gifts that God has given you? We recognize that when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells you. The moment that you put your trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sins, the moment that you trust in him, the Holy Spirit comes and he indwells you. And as a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and he's guiding and directing you. He's causing you to feel conviction for the sins that you commit. And he's leading you into righteousness. And something that the Holy Spirit does is he gives us gifts. He gives us this ability to supernaturally serve him and serve the body of Christ. And Paul just says, that there are many members in this body, and that each and every member does not have the same function. And I say praise the Lord for that. There is beauty in the diversity that God has given us. A reason why He's given us gifts is to encourage and support and edify the church, to glorify God and be a witness to the world around us. And He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. These are simple but profound and very difficult commands given to us by God. He looks at us and He says, I'm calling you to be different. I'm calling you to be set apart. If we read the verse and says, be holy as I am holy, we've walked through that verse and we've recognized that that is a hard statement. For us to look at our God and say, that's what I need to be like. I need to be holy as He is holy. And then we're confronted on a daily basis with the sin. We look in the mirror and we see who we are and we're confronted by this and we recognize that we fall short every single day. But the beauty of the gospel is that God looks at us and He sees us in our brokenness. He sees us in our sinfulness and He picks us up. He plucks us out of that. He brings us from death into life and He gives us the ability to live for Him. It's only by His grace that we can live for Him. It's only by His grace that we can live a life that is holy and pleasing to the Lord. My question to you is that evident in your life? Is that evident in the life of the church in which you belong? Is that evident in how you are walking in step with our God? Let us use them. Let us outdo one another in showing honor. Let love be genuine. I love talking with little kids when they're on their way to do something, okay? Because you get the just very blunt, very just pure answer. So Eli walk in the door, and he just struts in. He's so excited to be home. Going to go ruffle and make the dog annoyed. He's just happy, right? And I say, hey, buddy, what's up? You know what he mostly always says? Good. And then I say, okay, I can fix this. And I say, how was your day? You know what he says? What's up? There are times where we, as believers, we look at other brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's what we're doing. We're just living on the surface. We look at each other and say, what's up? And we say, good, and we move on. Or maybe we'll say, you know, how are you doing? Oh, fine. And then we just move right along. We're called to have our love be genuine. We're called to celebrate when others are celebrating and to hurt and cry and weep with those who are weeping. We're called to live life with each other in a way that is lifting one another up, supporting one another, bearing one another's burdens. We can't just simply live at that shallow level and say, what's up, good, and move on. We can't simply just settle for surface. God's calling us to invest in one another's lives. God's calling us to love one another with a love that is so genuine, so pure, that goes beyond anything that this world will ever see. In Jesus' high priestly prayer in the book of John, He's praying for His disciples and by extension us, because He says all who would come after them. So He's praying for the church. And He's praying, as He's praying for the church, He says, I pray that their love would be evident. I pray that their love would be genuine. And I pray that the watching world, this lost, helpless, hopeless world that desperately needs salvation, that desperately needs forgiveness of sin, that desperately needs a relationship with Jesus. My prayer is that this world that is watching them would see the love that they have for one another and know that they belong to you, Father. Is our love so genuine for one another that the watching world looks at us and they know who we belong to? Is the watching world looking at us and saying, wow, those are Christians, and I know that they're Christians by the way that they love one another, by the way that they act, by the way that they speak, by the way that they think, by the way that their actions just so reflect the God that they claim to serve. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Brothers and sisters, there is a responsibility that you and I, we need to protect doctrine. We need to hold fast to what is good, but we can only hold fast to what is good if we know what is good. We can only be able to hold fast to the Word of God if we know what's in it. We can only serve God correctly if we know who He is. We can only love Him correctly if we know who He is. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. This is always a fun one, right? I remember the church that I got saved in, there's multiple times where they would have Sundays where they would set up and take down chairs for an overflow. And they were doing that, and there's a couple of teenage guys that saw this verse and took it super literally, right? So what they would do is they would take the chairs when it's time to take down the chairs and put them up. They would take the chairs, and I'd watch these teenage boys walk by, and I don't know how, but they were carrying like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 chairs, right? And it became this competition. They would say, look how many chairs I'm carrying, right? And the really interesting thing, you know they were teenage boys because they would walk slower when they were passing the ladies just to show off how many chairs that they could carry, right? If we read this verse, outdo one another in showing honor, there's not a competition that's happening here. There's not a need to try to show off, look at me, I'm loving you so well. Check out the love that I have for you. It's much greater than the love that you have for me. No, no, no. It's not that. It's putting ourselves as second and putting others as first and saying, I am serving you. I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve. That sounds familiar, right? It's almost as though our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that. If we're truly calling ourselves Christians, people who follow Jesus, we should follow His example. You know how He chose to serve? Jesus, the greatest among them, got down on His knees and washed His disciples' feet. Jesus, the Creator of the universe, the God of heaven, got down and assumed the position as of a servant. And said, I'm going to serve you guys. I'm going to love you guys. I'm going to give myself up for you. Are we, as Jesus' body, as the bride of Christ, are we willing to give ourselves up for one another? Are we willing to serve one another? Are we willing to follow our Savior and saying, I'm putting my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm putting them first. I'm going to think about others more than I think about myself. I'm going to love with a love that is so genuine. It's really neat that the Edwards have chosen to come, and it's worked out on this Sunday. Because what we're doing this Sunday, as we are closing our service, we are welcoming a few members into our family. These are a few people who have decided to put their money where their mouth is. And they're saying, I am choosing to be associated with this body of believers. I am choosing to publicly declare that I belong to these believers. Pretty neat, isn't it? It's pretty neat as we reflect on who we are in Jesus Christ, and who we are as a church. And as we see the families pass by, and we look at these people who have publicly declared that they belong to us, and that we belong to them, I want to take a moment and I want to read our membership covenant. As a church, we have a few different important documents. We have a church constitution and bylaws that says this is how we're going to govern. This is how things are going to function. These are the rules and regulations. And then we have a covenant, something that believers who are members are committing to one another. We are choosing to covenant and make sure that these words that I'm about to read, if we call ourselves a member of Faith Community Church, we say that we are accepting these words as our own. Let me read them. Our membership covenant says, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards members, by refusing to gossip, by following the leaders. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit. I will serve the ministry of the church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve with my pastors, by developing a servant's heart. I will support the ministry of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, by giving regularly. If you call yourself a believer, and if you decide that you want to belong to this church, if you say, I belong to Faith Community Church, then my cry to you is don't deprive yourself and your church of the gifts, the abilities, the person of who you are. There is a difference between just simply attending church and participating in church. The biblical call for each and every one of us is for us to participate in church. And I want you to see the connection between participating in the local church, this body of believers who God has placed you in, this body of believers, his brothers and sisters, who you are called to love and who are called to love you. We ought to participate with this family of one another, right? But let's go one more step. We're also called to participate in the universal church. We have an obligation, a responsibility, a privilege to pray for brothers and sisters across the world, many of whom are under persecution, many of whom are going through difficult circumstances, many of whom are willing to lay down their lives and are putting their lives on the line every single day for the gospel by which we both were saved. It's our responsibility to pray for them, to lift them up, and as often as we can to connect with and encourage them. Because as believers, we have an awesome and great commission. And I want to read that to you. It's called the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, it says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Our Savior, the one who we follow, has all authority, all dominion on heaven and earth. And his call for us is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. The imperative in this statement is actually make. Go really is this idea of as you go about your life, as you live your life, as you are coming and going, as you go, that's assumed. As you are going, make disciples. Our command is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The really neat thing about the Church of Jesus Christ is that our mission, our goal, our aim is to complete and fulfill that great commission, making disciples. And how do we do that? Teaching them to observe and obey and know everything that is found here in this book, everything that Jesus has taught. And then we have the awesome, incredible, world-changing statement from Jesus at the end. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are not alone. You got to hear that again and again and again. We are not alone. First and foremost, we have one another. We have this beautiful body, this beautiful family. But we are not alone because Jesus himself says, I am with you. You're not going in your own power. Because you know what would happen if we went in our own power? We'd fail. We'd stumble. We'd fall. We would make a whole mess of things. And we've seen throughout our history and we've seen throughout the history of the church, when the church has tried to go on their own power, you know what happens? They stumble, they fall, they make a mess of things. We're not going in our power, we're going in his power. He's with us. Holy Spirit is with us. God himself is with us. He's enabling us to live for him. He's enabling us to do things that we could never do on our own. He's enabling us to love one another, to share the good news of the gospel, and to live lives that are worthy of the gospel calling which he's given us. That's our mission, that's our goal, that's our marching orders, and that's who we need to be. Are you with me? Let's do this. Let's live our lives in a way that pleases our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you've given us a beautiful church, the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you that that beautiful church is both local and universal. God, we thank you that you've given us the ability to live for you. And Father, we pray that we would trust in you. Each and every day of our lives, we would put our trust in you. We would depend on you. We would lean on you. We would not trust ourselves. God, help us to live our lives in a way that just flaunts who we are because of the love that we have for one another. We thank you for Faith Community Church, this local body of believers who has rallied together and is wanting and willing to serve you. May you find us faithful, God. Each and every day of our lives, would you look on us and would you see faithfulness? Would you see a family that is dedicating to serving you, that is dedicated to loving well, and that is dedicated to carrying that gospel message wherever we go? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.